Let's do it!
Love Talk Radio.
I need to find my news.
Welcome to Beauty Talk. I'm your host, Janice Snell, and today is August 26th, and I just literally walked through the door from coming from out of town, so I'm just going to pass it on to my sister really quick with some announcements while I catch my breath.
You know, I'm trying to catch my breath. Okay. Good evening, everyone, and I have a little bit of beauty news, but before I do that, I just want to say I just love this BBM chat that we have going on for Beauty Talk. Those ladies are in the chat room ready to go, and I'm trying to flip back and forth between the chat and the beauty news and all that good stuff. So hopefully Jennifer James will be able to help me out in the chat room and keep things going there.
Okay.
And I will do my best to keep things going on the BBM chat. First, I wanted to start out by saying that IMAX is starting with the Sydney, Australia show. Will start using a barcoded ticketing system. When you purchase your ticket, you will receive an email confirmation, whether you purchase over the phone or over the internet. You'll receive an email confirmation. You bring that email confirmation to the show along with your picture ID, and you will receive your wristband. So for those of us who were at the show last year, you know how crazy those lines were. To get, you know, your wristband, even for those people who had already pre-ordered their tickets, there was a long line. So I think that system is going to work out a lot better next time around. Makeup artist J.K. Hunter will be continuing her makeup series, Let's Make Up, on Saturday, August 28th from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. at the Hotel Preston in Nashville, Tennessee. And her class will focus on contouring, which seems to be the major theme going on now with makeup education, which I think it's very useful. The master of makeup education, Danessa Myricks, will bring her core boot camp class to Atlanta. I'm so happy about that. That's going to be on Sunday, September 6th. This is a hands-on basic boot camp, so for more information, you can go to the website, imakeyoubeautiful.com. That's the letter I, makeyoubeautiful.com. And all of these classes will be posted on our blog, and look out for a review of Danessa's DVD, Fundamental Beauty, coming tomorrow. I'll have that ready for you tomorrow, so that'll be on the blog as well. And then, what else do we have? Beauty Talk, the web series, will air its first episode on Monday, August 30th. If you haven't already seen it, go out and check out the sizzle reel on YouTube. You can go to youtube.com/illusionscosmetics. We will post a link in the beauty lounge as well. If you can do that for me, Jen, I would appreciate it. And for those Beauty Talk fans who are unable to join us on any given Thursday and you own a BlackBerry, you can join us on the BBM chat, in the BBM on the Beauty Talk group chat. You can go to our blog and scan the barcode and you can join that way. It's a whole lot easier than sending in your PIN number. So to get to our blog, it's just Beauty Talk with Illusions. blogspot.com. Also, two last-minute things I just wanted to tell you about. On Facebook, if you go check out Beauty Talk, the web series, you can like that page. We would appreciate it if you would do that. And then also, we just started a Twitter page for Beauty Talk, the web series, so you can follow us on Twitter. And we one last thing. I know I said that just a few seconds ago, but we are looking for an intern for Beauty Talk. the Blog Talk Radio Show as well as the web series. So if you're interested, please email us your info at illusionsbeauty@gmail.com. And that's it.
Thank you very much. I'm excited about all the classes that's going around around the country, and I'm even more excited because that, you know, that teaching are very experienced artists, and you know they are good at what they do. So I'm excited about that. So definitely check out J.K. Hunter's class if you're in the Nashville area, and also Vanessa's class coming to Atlanta. Okay, so tonight, excited because we are talking to three lovely ladies who, you know, we all know a little bit about each other. Some of us may know a lot about each other, but we've been following each other, and I'm excited to have you all here. So first of all, welcome to the show. I appreciate you all being here, but I just want to, well, first let me let everyone know who's here. We have Frances Williams.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Frances.
We have Jennifer James.
Hello.
Hello. She's no stranger to Beauty Talk. And then we have Felicia Walker-Benson. Hi, Felicia.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
We're wonderful. Now, ladies, I want you all to just kind of give us briefly just a little bit of information. First, just tell us who you are, or, you know, where you're from, or where you actually are now, where your base is, I guess I could say. And then maybe just give us a little bit of information about your background, like what part of the business you're experienced in, or anything that you would have us know. Feel free to shout out your Twitter names, your website, any of that. Who wants to start first?
Okay, Jennifer, you start first.
I knew it. Hi, everybody. It's Jennifer James, Jennifer James Beauty. I am a born and raised Detroiter, still based in Detroit, which I kind of say tragically, but it's not tragically really, because I'm just anxious to move back to New York City, where I spend most of the year, I could say, over half of the year I spend in New York City doing everything. I mean, the gamut of makeup. I'm still volunteering at Halloween parties for kids, all the way up to little stuff at like the ET Awards, you know, little fashion here and there, which is my favorite, still into bridal. I'm just trying to push everybody's buttons, so to speak, and get my foot in some more doors. I've done a little bit of film, mostly independent. And I'm just crazy for makeup artistry, and it's been going on for about 21 years now. Not trying to tell my age, really, but it is what it is, as they say.
Right.
And I am Jen James Beauty on Twitter, and on Facebook, it's Jennifer James Beauty and Jennifer James Beauty Biz, B-I-Z. And that's me.
Okay, well, I'll chime in next.
Okay.
Okay, well, this is Felicia. So my name is Felicia. I'm an Aquarius. I like long walks on the beach. I like romantic dinners.
I love it.
I think my background is somewhat interesting, at least to me. I wear multiple hats, which I always describe as it's the new economy. No longer can you just do one thing. If you do, you won't be doing anything. So I am a working makeup artist, and that means that I pretty much do makeup every day, from bridal to everyday beauty. I teach makeup to beginning makeup artists. I teach makeup to advanced makeup artists for brands like Dex New York, Eve Pearl. I work with a lot of beauty brands and do education with them. I have I've been a key artist for Fashion Week. The last two seasons I've been the lead artist for The Vessel by Loy Samuel. So that kind of covers the makeup part, and I'm sure there's still stuff that I'm leaving out. In addition to that, I'm also a beauty editor and writer, which I think gives me unique perspective coming from an editorial journalistic point of view also, but as an artist and obviously as a consumer, because that's how I got into beauty and style. It's just being a consumer and loving it all myself. And I'm basically self-taught. And in addition to those two hats, I also do social media development, social media strategy for beauty brands. So, again, I'm a Jill of all, and I wear a number of hats, but it all revolves around fashion, style, and beauty. So, you know, there are different things under that umbrella, but it's still all fashion, style, beauty related. I'm not, like, you know, day trading or doing anything on the side. It's all style, beauty, fashion. And that's pretty much me.
Gotcha. Right. And also, tell us your Twitter and Facebook.
Oh, sure. My Twitter handle is ThisThatBeauty, and that's also my blog, ThisThatBeauty. And I also contribute for Essence.com, a site called Cheapism, which is about finding the cheapest beauty products. I also write for LVC Mag and a few others, but those are the main magazines that I contribute for.
Cool. Thank you. So that leaves Frances. Come on, Frances, speak up.
Yes, this is Frances, and I am from Georgia, South Georgia, a little small town called Waycross. It's actually 4 hours south of Atlanta.
Heard of
it? Yes, I am the baby in this group, which I am actually just so excited and happy to be a part of the show with you wonderful ladies. My start, let's see, in 2006, I helped direct a fashion show at my church. And basically from that point on, I realized, okay, I really love to do this in regards to just makeup and helping women find, you know, their little place and their little niche in beautifying themselves. So I took on the name for my artistry company called Revelations of Beauty, and so I see myself as a little person that helps other women reveal their true beauty. And so my Twitter name is Revealing Beauty, which is RevealingBeaute. And on Facebook, I can be found as Frances Williams or Revelations of Beauty for Frances Williams.
Nice. And Revelations for Frances Williams?
Revelations of Beauty, Frances Williams.
Oh, gotcha. Wonderful. So, ladies, let me ask, because I'm listening to all of you speak, and you all come, you know, from different backgrounds, different parts of the country. You know, you have experience in, you know, different things. Everything goes back to beauty. Let me ask you, and Felicia, I don't remember you saying where you're based, but I'm taking New York, New Jersey, something like that?
Yeah, I live in New Jersey, and I'm about 20 minutes from New York, so I spend a great deal of my time between New York and New Jersey, and occasionally work in D.C., Philly, Connecticut, so kind of Delaware, so kind of the tri-state area, primarily New York and New Jersey.
Okay, tri-state, Northeast Carter. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, and the reason I asked that is because I wanted to ask, the first question I wanted to ask, because I heard Jennifer talk about spending the majority of the year in New York, and I know Frances, she said, you know, she's from a small town in Waycross, Georgia. I guess particularly to Frances and Jennifer, do you feel like all that you want to do in this business you can accomplish in your respective towns? I know Jennifer said, you know, she's really heavy into fashion. So I'm wondering if you know, if that's your main reason for being in New York all the time. I know you're very close, Felicia, to New York, but do you think that ladies think that in the towns that you live in, do you feel like you can accomplish all that you want to do in your makeup careers in that town?
Absolutely not.
That must be Jennifer.
Absolutely not. Detroit, Michigan is a small market. The film industry did some burgeoning here within the past year and a half, maybe 2 years. But it's a very specific market, I say, because being a small market that doesn't have a huge, not even moderate entertainment side, you kind of have to focus your business, you know, of course, on whatever is happening in the market. And if you're not absolutely big on, you can do a lot of music video here. A lot of independent artists are, you know, producing music here and doing projects here. There's work that way. The bridal work is still very heavy. That's always cool. But for entertainment industry, fashion, editorial, there's some work, but you definitely have to move around.
That's
For me, none, not at all. I have to, we have and even when it comes to weddings for bridal work, it's very far and few between. I have to leave the city to get work. And I will say that after a while, I began to appreciate the state that I was in because it allowed me to really, I guess, decide that this is what I wanted to do. And I say that because, there's no market to work, but at the same time, this passion is growing on the inside of me. So what I have done is continue to study and, I guess, fine-tune the talent that I do have, as well as, you know, working on getting more education. And actually, I will say that I'm very excited because I'm actually right now planning my first workshop, which is going to be in October. And, you know, I do have a lot of women who ask me all the time about makeup, about products. So I said, you know, I'll continue to, you know, get as much education as I can, you know, online, studying, reading, watching other artists, as well as, you know, for the work that I can get with training or teaching, you know, the everyday woman how to do their makeup. You know, I'll do that until I am ready to move on to another location.
That's a good point that you make, because so many people, when they start out, they want the industry so bad, but they're not willing to do the work. They're not willing to, you know, groom themselves. I mean, they just want to run out there and do it, and nobody's willing to prepare themselves for, you know, for what's ahead. So that's a good point that you made, but I'm glad you're doing that.
What about you, Felicia? I know you're very close to New York, but do you think all that you do and that you want to do, you can accomplish in New Jersey?
I do. I think that regardless of where you are, you have to work really hard at branding yourself and your presentation, cultivating your talent, and offering something to your client that's unique because, you know, you have competition, you know, it seems like, you know, today you've got so many makeup artists. When you're in a place like New York, you have a little bit of maybe the opposite of what the ladies might find in other areas where there's like a saturation of makeup artists. So how are you distinguishing yourself? What makes your brand stronger or better? Why is someone going to pay for your service versus someone else, because every other person is a, quote, makeup artist. So I do find that you have to work really hard and just be very mindful of your brand and develop it and cultivate your talent. And I'm often reluctant to use the word network, but to really, you know, improve your community around you in terms of other artists and brands and really cultivate that community. So I think that helps you to create a presence and compete, because it can be really competitive here in the New York, New Jersey area, because there is such a saturation of makeup artists. And I hear the same is true in like the D.C. area.
Right. Right. And Atlanta.
Atlanta. Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
I mean, you know, like I think... 2 out of 3 people, I'm not going to say women, it just seems like 2 out of 3 people are makeup artists. Like, everybody's a makeup artist.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy.
And I just wanted to respond. This is Jenny, and I wanted to respond to basically the question. I live in Baltimore, and I'm very close to, I'm like 50 minutes from Washington, D.C., an hour and 15 minutes from Philadelphia, 3 hours from New York City. You know, North Carolina is depending on where you're going to North Carolina is a 5-hour ride from here. Atlanta is an hour and 45 minutes by plane. So even though I live in Baltimore, even without being close to all these different areas, I did at one time find a lot of work here in Baltimore. When I first started doing makeup over 12 and a half years ago, I built my resume working here in Baltimore on television projects and independent films. And then once I got into the union, there was a lot of feature film and television projects here, filming here in Baltimore, that I could work on where I could actually build my resume. So I think actually living here has not hindered me at all in any way. Like Felicia was saying, you know, you have to really brand yourself, and pretty much that's what I focused on doing. And also, because I'm able to work on feature film, I could work on feature film up and down the East Coast, which I've done. So for me, living where I live has not stopped me from, you know, getting the work that I wanted. You know, I guess it's just a matter of when things aren't here, then getting up and going to where the work is.
But, you know, sometimes I think sometimes it's a matter of just opening doors for yourself, you know, and just creating those opportunities for yourself. Now, there may be some areas like where Frances lives in Waycross, Georgia, that, you know, they may not have, you know, film or television industry. That's understandable. Fashion may not be big in Waycross. That's understandable. So, you know, if a person living in Waycross wanted to do more, then yes, they may, you know, they have to move, or someone's going to have to fly them to where the job is, you know, but who's going to do that? Who's going to go to Waycross, Georgia, and find a makeup artist and fly you to L.A. to do a movie when you've got tons of makeup artists in L.A. who can do movies? So, yeah, you may have to leave Waycross to do some of the things you want to do, depending on what your passion is in your field.
Right. Or I think, you know, really work on building up the community for that where you are. So if it's teaching makeup lessons, makeup
right.
parties, brides, you know, if, you know, if that's the kind of work that you want to do, maybe it's also an opportunity for you to build it up. Maybe editorial or runway, that might not be your, that's not going to be your niche, but maybe there are other things that can be your niche within your community.
Yeah, I remember a few shows ago, I believe it was Kat Erigan that talked about focusing in on what's happening in your market and mm-hmm. basically honing your career and preparing for what's actually happening in your market or close to your market, you know, to be
but,
able to get some stretch out of your business and your career.
But the thing is for me, well, not necessarily for me, I guess what I'm trying to say is my whole thing is, what if what's happening in your market is what you don't want to do?
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. If it's just not what you want to do, then yes, you have. Then you, maybe mm-hmm. you have to go outside of your mm-hmm. market. But I do agree with that, Felicia. Then, you know, maybe you just, you know, if whatever is going on in your market, especially if no one else is doing it, then you hop on that, and you know, you do it. So then when people
right.
start taking a look at that, and then everybody, you know, those people who want to be a makeup artist, they want to do that now. But, you know, you've kind of started that going on in that area. So then, you know, once you feel like you just can't grow anymore doing that, then maybe you do have to move if there's something else that's not going on in your market that you really want to do.
But, you know, I was gonna say that's why I like what J.K. Hunter is doing in Nashville. You know, with
mm-hmm.
the teaching of the classes. You know, there's not a lot of makeup or any makeup schools or whatever in the area, but there are makeup artists there. A growing amount of makeup artists coming along, and she's there, probably the only one offering classes in that area. Now, you know, it may not, but you know, Nashville is somewhat of an entertainment area, and so they do need makeup artists. So, but it's great that she's like kind of spearheading this thing where these classes are going on. So I think with Frances, you have a wonderful opportunity there where you can kind of get some things started. You know,
right.
you may still need to one day get up, maybe move to Atlanta or some other city of your choice. But I think it's a great opportunity for you right now to really get a lot of things started in Waycross. So what is Waycross? Is there a big town that we all may be familiar with that Waycross is close to?
Atlanta.
Well, Atlanta, we're 4 hours south of Atlanta, and then
uh-huh.
Jacksonville, Florida is an hour and a half away.
Is that close to Jacksonville?
Right. So I'm in Jacksonville a lot as well, yes.
Okay.
So that's why it's called Way Across Georgia.
Exactly.
Because it's way across Georgia.
Okay, I got you. But, you know, there may be some opportunities for you in Jacksonville as well.
Yes, and I have had, you know, quite a few jobs in Jacksonville, so that is one area
okay.
where I do go to get work, yes.
Cool.
Hey, I would say, Frances, start a Facebook group for makeup artists in those regions.
Mm-hmm.
I've been able to collect on the, you know, for the purposes of educating other people that do want some education, that feel like I have something to offer them.
Mm-hmm.
Facebook groups for specific regions has been, I mean, huge. Just start one. Put the title in there. Say what you do, what the group is about. Be a resource for them and go for it. Do it.
Sounds good.
Let me ask you, ladies. Now, you know, for I don't know how many months it's been now, but Suzanne Patterson has been coming on, and she's been talking about, you know, this HD camera that's going on and all the things that we need to be prepared for when it comes to doing makeup for HD. And, you know, there's been some things where we're like, okay, we got it. And then there's been some times when she's been on and we're like, okay, I think I got it, you know, or, you know, it's been a lot of information that she's been giving, and it's been a lot of helpful information. My question to you all is, how ready are you for HD? Now, it's not coming, it's here.
Mm-hmm.
Already here. You know, how ready are you for HD? And if you're not ready, what are you doing to get ready and to prepare yourself?
For me, this is Denise. For me, and you all may hear us say that. We may say, this is Denise, this is Janice. That's just so you all can tell who's speaking. But this is Denise, and for me, of course, it's here, and I'm ready. I've been working in HD, oh gosh, for a long, long time now, for years. And it's changing. It's changing every single day. So for me to keep up with it, you know, I have to listen to people like Suzanne Patterson, who works in it so much and who's so knowledgeable about it. I have to, you know, I have to listen to what she's telling us. I have to research for myself, you know, to figure out what about HD is changing. And even, you know, when I'm working, I have to be very close to, you know, the DP on set and you know, really talking to the camera crew to find out, you know, what type of camera they're using. I have to really watch, you know, how they light the set, how they light the actors. I have to make sure I'm watching the monitor on a film set, especially on a film set, to make sure I'm watching the monitor and pay close attention to how the makeup is reacting, you know, what the camera sees, and, like, really be ready to make adjustments if I have to. Because that's one thing that, you know, on film and television, you know, we do the makeup and they go to set and we think, oh, you know, that's it until it's time to touch up. Well, no, you really have to pay close attention to what's going on because, you know, as Suzanne keeps saying, you know, the HD camera pulls red, and it really does. So if you're putting blush on someone and you're just, you know, making them up the way, you know, you want to make them up and, you know, everything looks beautiful, but then when you go on set and you see that this blush looks like it's all over their face, you know, it's not because that's how you applied it. Well, sometimes for some people it may be, but it could also be because that camera's pulling that color so it looks like it's just so much. So you have to be able to go in and make those adjustments. So that's what I'm really trying to pay close attention to is, you know, what the camera is picking up from the face and, you know, being able to go in quickly, make the adjustments. But to prevent that, I'm just really, you know, testing out different products and trying to make sure I get the right application of those products right before they get to set so that I'm not there constantly trying to make adjustments on something. But it's trial and error with HD, though. You know, it's just trial and error. You never know what type of application or what type of product is going to work and what's not going to work.
And this is Janice. Just like my sister was saying, you know, I've been working in it for a while. And I guess the biggest thing for me, just like, again, like my sister said, since we both work a lot on film and television, it's a lot of communicating with your camera person and your lighting person and just getting an understanding of what they're doing and how they're going to light so that you know how to do the makeup. Also, again, like she said, listening to people like Suzanne, who's very knowledgeable, or Sarah, Sarah, who was on, three weeks in a row, who was sharing a lot of information. Just listening to people like that and studying, reading, you know, reading the magazines and the books and even going back, looking at your work, what you did in HD and seeing what doesn't look right or where you can change and that kind of thing. I think it's something that we all should work on, whether we work on film or television or not. Because, again, just like I can't remember, I think it was Sarah who said it, you know, we have HD that we're concerned with, but then now there's things that's going to be going to, you know, 3D, and then that's a whole other issue. So, you know, we really have to be prepared for it. What do you ladies think?
This is Jennifer. I actually have been able to kind of prepare for HD and be in the game a little bit over the years because I'm a tech geek, so I kind of connected with photographers locally that knew about the equipment that was coming. Some of them had already, you know, spent their last dime investing in some of this stuff. And
right.
Then back to what Felicia said about community, the fact that these guys are all geeky about this stuff, they know what guy works at the local TV station and which local TV station was shooting in HD. So I just started thrusting myself into local TV spots to fill 3 minutes here, fill 3 minutes there to get the experience of working with that equipment and the guys that know all about it.
Mm-hmm. Right. But speaking of HD, you know, people lately, you know, where they've come out with all these HD products, you know, HD foundations and powders, and then there's, of course, airbrushing. Do you think necessarily that airbrushing and HD, is that the right choice? Or do you think it's just a matter of choice, you know, whatever works for you?
I think it's a matter of choice. I mean, it's just that, whatever works for you. Some people can, you know, hand paint a face and it looks airbrushed. I just think airbrushing is a great tool for HD, just not the only tool. But, I mean, I like it a lot for, you know, for doing work in HD, but I just like airbrushing. But, of course, you know, I do it both ways.
Well, while we're speaking of, Jennifer talked about photographers, I wanted to ask a question about photo shoots and our work when we do photo shoots. What do you guys think about raw versus retouched photos? There are some photographers and some retouchers who can retouch a photo to death, to the point where it looks fabulous, but unreal. What do you think about that? Because, you know, a lot of times we have these pictures in our books where they've been retouched and it looks great, but does our work look that great? I mean, we know it's been retouched, but does our work look great, you know, in the raw state? Could we put a photo in its raw state in our book and be satisfied with it? Or do we have to have retouching on all the photos that we do?
I'm going to say, this is Jen, I'm going to say that it's kind of a mini-tier thing, because if you're on the side of a talented and skilled makeup artist that's very good at precision, application, everything, I mean, you have everything technical down and you have the hands to execute it, if you don't have that other tier of the photographer who is able to light everything properly, and also if you're not the creative director on the whole thing, it's like a mini-tier thing to achieve that picture that can go raw, even though I do believe that the retouching thing has gotten out of hand, but there just has to be so many elements in place to get a raw picture that you would put in your book.
Yeah, I think this new age photography has definitely made us lazy as makeup artists. Like, we don't even really take it that far because we know we don't have to nowadays. We know it's going to be retouched. So we don't even, you know, we just kind of do the bare minimum and then let, you know, whoever's going to retouch it do the rest. And I think a lot of times now, you know, most photographers don't have the patience to wait, you know, for makeup artists to really get in there and you know, to beat that face the right way. But, you know, now it's just, you know, rush, 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 and so people don't care. They just do it, you know, you go to set, get in front of the camera, you know, you touch it up, you tweak it a little bit. Oh, don't worry about it. They can retouch it.
Well, my thought is I'm thinking that a lot of agencies, if that's the route any of you want to go, a lot of agencies are probably looking for, they want to see your work where it's not overly retouched. And maybe that's a question we can ask our guest next week, Crystal Wright. But maybe that's something we can ask her about. But what do you think, Felicia, about that?
I mean, I think that in terms of retouching, when you're, you know, if a photographer is shooting you, I think it's important to work with the photographer to have a certain level of integrity in the final product that's being produced. I agree with you in that a lot of photographers are kind of rushed and they don't give the makeup the full time it deserves. I experience that particularly when working on set. I mean, they just want you to kind of rush and do your thing in 20 minutes, and I am personally not that makeup artist. I'm not
right.
A person that can to get the face where it needs to be in 20 minutes, because a lot of times you're dealing with imperfect skin.
Right.
And I don't mean that in a condescending way. I mean, my skin is imperfect in many ways, so for me to, you know, get my face camera ready in 20 minutes, it's probably not going to happen, and that's what they expect, and you're dealing with large pores, deep-set wrinkles, all these things. So I do think that they kind of rush it and expect for you to produce in a very short period of time, and we'll retouch it later on. I like to have some level of integrity in the end product. So if it's something like a shadow or something like that, that's fine, you know. But sometimes you really don't have, and most times I should say, you do not have control over the final product, what it looks like. I've done work and I've seen it, you know, in a catalog or whatever, and I'm like, wow, I didn't make those lips that deep. It's more of a berry tone, and maybe when you applied it was a pink tone, but that's what the magazine or whoever's in charge of the layout is looking at and saying, this is, you know, how we want this scheme to work. So I think when it comes to your portfolio, I would say to try and have as much integrity as possible. But a lot of times when you're working on set, or if it's for a magazine or a catalog, you have very little control over the end product.
Yeah. And Felicia, there's a question in the chat room. They're asking, how long does it take you to do makeup?
It depends on whether or not it's, let's say, for example, on set for a catalog shoot, or if it's a bride. With a bride, I probably take about 45 minutes to an hour. Mm-hmm. I would say on set, when I have to work faster, a basic face, I would say about 30 minutes.
Mhm. Mhm. Yeah, I would say for me, I always give myself an hour on a bride, just because, you know, she's dealing with so much that, you know, you're going to need that extra time. But on film, I would love to have 45 minutes for someone that I've never even seen before, or I've never done their makeup before. But
mm-hmm.
nowadays, I mean, they're really basically just giving you literally almost 20 minutes, and that's it.
Right. And I find that in situations like that, and this is, I work with Danessa Myers quite a bit, and in situations like that where I only have 20 minutes, I always find that my number one priority is perfecting the face. It's perfecting
mm-hmm.
the canvas, and my contouring is my foundation. I don't do an extra step. I lay the foundation as if I'm contouring. And that way you pop on a lash or whatever. If they call for time, at least the complexion is perfect.
That's right.
So that's what I focus on when I have, you know, 15 to 20 minutes. It's beat the complexion, make sure it's perfect, it's contoured, there's no shine. And after that, whatever time you have left, then you're able to throw on a lash, do your liner, throw on some blush or bronzer, throw on a lip. But that complexion, in my opinion, has to be first and perfect. And I find that so many makeup artists are so concerned with the eyes. I don't know what this is.
Thank you for saying this.
It's an epidemic. It is an epidemic. And I know that everyone applies differently, and I'm guilty, because I used to be an eye makeup application artist first. Oh, the fallout. Oh, to this. I got to get the eyes right. But I have to tell you, I have totally flipped the script, and I'm all about perfecting the canvas first, and the eyes, cheeks, lips. That's definitely, those things can happen very quickly, especially for a basic application, even for a bride.
Yeah.
I agree.
I'm
so
done.
True.
Because when you think about it, like, let's just say on film, for instance, when you think about it, you know, if you have, let's just use somebody, I'm trying to think, well, I'll just say Vivica Fox. If you have Vivica Fox in the makeup trailer, and, you know, she's gone through hair, now she's coming to makeup, and they're only giving you, let's just say you have, I don't know, 20 minutes. Maybe Vivica wasn't the best example, because Vivica will
demand
45 hair.
And Vivica's got all that collagen floating around.
Thank you. Exactly.
You've got to be careful. That's a whole other topic, dealing with folks that have a lot of work done, because that can, you know, be challenging.
Right. But the thing is, in that type of situation, I mean, first of all, I never do the eyes first. To me, just in my opinion, there may be other people out there who do it. To me, it's just so ridiculous. So for me, I have to get the skin first, because that is the most important thing. If you have someone with acne, especially an actress, she's not going on set looking like that. She's just not.
Right. Even if the skin is perfect, it has to be prepped. It has to be perfect for TV.
To. Even with perfect skin, I don't know any actress who will go to set without foundation on.
It's not happening.
But the thing about it is, once you get to set, you know they're going to take another 15, 20 minutes to do nothing.
Yeah,
so
right.
That's when you can go pop that eyeshadow on there.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, blush if you have to. They're gonna do about how many takes? Trust me, the first shot more than likely is going to be the wide shot.
Mm-hmm.
By the time they get in to do the close-up, you can complete your makeup application.
Yep.
But if you get the skin done first, the rest is easy.
Right, yeah, I agree. And I mean, my thought, and I'll, you know, share this with, I'm sure the more, you know, established artists know this, but with some of the newbies out there, I always, in the back of my mind, I was taught this, and I always remember it, all you have to do is make them look better than they can make themselves look, better than how they got in that chair. And that does not always require the five eyeshadows you're just dying to try out, you know. It's honestly, it's some neutral, you know, boom, boom, boom.
Right.
And you've made them look like $1 million, especially if you've perfected the face.
Right. And the thing about it, and I'm gonna keep speaking about, you know, the film as an example. Think about it. You're making them look like a character, and the character could just be an everyday businesswoman. What everyday businesswoman do you know is going to wear
just
five
feet.
Eyeshadow colors?
Right.
And who's
down
that?
At the
and who's that
hobby.
Be? Yeah.
Feet.
So,
but see, that's,
you know,
experience. That's experience. Maybe I'm old school with the skin first thing. I'll call it old school, whatever you want to call it.
I'm never worried about
that. I agree with that. That is very old school, and I like that.
Well,
I like that.
But let me tell you what else is old school. Why would you have to worry about fallout when you can do what? Just put a little powder under the eye and dust it off when you're finished.
How about you tap off that brush before you get the product even near the face?
Thank you.
Hey,
how about you get some good brushes? How about that? How about
you know,
get
yourself, come on, people.
How about you get yourself some good brushes that you don't have to worry about that product coming off?
That reminds me of
I was just going to say, we better go easy, because I know someone out there is like, girl, I do my eyes first. I don't care what they're talking about. I do my eyes first.
But you know what, though?
It's a matter of opinion, though.
But it's a matter of opinion, and then
right.
just like, and then like, you know, like just was saying, you know, some of us are old school, and what has worked in the past still works today, you know. And for some of the newbies, it's just a matter of them learning that trial and error, because you know, if you think about it, a lot of the people that may be teaching makeup, like when you go to some of these makeup schools or beauty schools, may be some people who have just graduated themselves the semester before. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So they may be learning some things that a newbie may only, you know, may have tried and only know, and that's what they pick up. So
right.
you know. I mean, it really depends on how you were taught, how you were, you know, what your experiences are, who you've been watching. It's a lot of things, you know, and we're not saying any particular way is right or any particular way is wrong, but we know what works.
I am.
Okay.
I'm new on the call, so I won't be as bold as Jen. I think it's a matter of preference, and I worked that way for years. I worked that way for years doing the eyes first, and I just kind of conditioned myself to apply differently because of time constraints and just kind of just evolving my understanding, my own personal understanding and philosophy about makeup and skin and what is the most important thing. That's why I conditioned myself to do it differently, but obviously what works for you.
Right.
Yeah. And as a newbie, this is Francis, as a newbie, the other newbies, they teach doing the eyes first.
I can attest to that.
Yes. They teach do the eyes first because of the whole fallout situation and all of that. But for me, even on myself, I do my face first. Because for me, it is about perfecting the canvas and going from there. And then I just real quick want to go back to the raw versus the retouching. Yes, I appreciate, you know, the retouching and people being able to do that, but too much of it takes the life out of the skin, out of, you know, the final piece. And when I did my first photo shoot for my, you know, for in regards to growing my business, the photographer that I work with straight out told me, I don't retouch my photos. So as I prepared for my work, I prepared for perfecting the skin. And so at the end of it all, I had great shots with no retouching. So I appreciated the fact that he told me, I don't retouch my photos. Because when I went into it, I understood that my goal is to come out with a great product. So, you know, I had to, you know, fine-tune some areas and, you know, understand that my goal is to perfect the canvas. Everything else we'll get later.
And, but you know what? That should always be our goal, though.
Right. If I can just add one other thing to that, and this is something that James Vincent taught me. He's a mentor of mine, and I work with him sometimes. And what he taught me, and this is what really conditioned me to start doing the face first, he said to me, how can you start with the eyes? He's like, you don't know what level the eyes or the rest of the face will need, the cheeks or the lips, until you have the face right, until you have the canvas perfected. You don't even know
exactly
what you need until you
exactly
get the canvas right. And so once he said that to me, I kind of thought about it, and I'm looking at the face, and I'm thinking, okay, maybe this person requires really heavy coverage on their skin. Maybe they require sheer coverage. I don't really know until I go in and I, you know, I perfect the canvas. And once I do that, then I know what they can take on their eyes, what they can take on their cheeks, what they can take on their lips. So that's just a little bit more, you know, background for Team Old School.
Right. Not just that, but, you know, you haven't even determined the face shape yet and how you're going to correct the shape of the face. So, and then, you haven't determined, you know, the shape of the eyebrow. So there's a lot that goes into it before you can do the eyeshadow. But I think also a lot of people who've trained at MAC train that way, eyes first.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But see, that's consumer based, and they have to, people, we have to separate what this hobbyist, enthusiast stuff is from what professional makeup artistry is. It is frustrating. I have to teach my students to use their peripheral vision. There is a whole face we're working with here. Facial anatomy, there's a hairline, there's a shape of the head. You got to look at the whole picture, and you cannot do that with these little pop in here and pop in there. It's the whole picture. Please.
What do you call them, Jennifer? Hop in here, hop in here, hop in there?
Hop in here and pop in there.
I have to agree with Jen completely. You know, you have to decide, are you a makeup technician or are you a makeup artist? Are you approaching an eye like mine, which I think I have like a monolid with, or someone with like a deep recessed eye? Are you giving them the same four-step retail crease, or are you really thinking about what do you need to create for that client? And I think that's where a lot of that's what really separates the technician from the artist, because I've seen, you know, I've been in MAC before. We're all there. You see them do face after face, and they will apply the exact same method of makeup to a monolid as a recessed crease, to a small set eye, a wide set eye, and you're just like, wow, you just gave everyone the retail crease. You know, you did not think about what needed to happen with that particular person's eye. And, you know, that's very important.
You know, Felicia, I was just about to say that before you started speaking. It basically breaks down to, are you a professional makeup artist, or are you a salesperson who was trained to do makeup the Bobby Brown way or the MAC way or the Stila way or whatever?
Right.
Because that's what it boils down to. I mean, I've freelanced for MAC before. I freelanced for Bobby Brown for 6 years, you know, while doing the film and TV and all this other stuff. So I know they train you how to do makeup their way using their products. So, yeah, you're going to give them that retail eyebrow. It has nothing to do with their face shape or anything.
Maybe that's why I didn't last very long.
Right.
Right.
Maybe that's why I wasn't a good seller, because that was about telling people the truth about the products, you know, and what they needed, what they didn't need. Because if not, they're going to bring it back anyway.
Yep, that's the truth.
Wow.
That was a great little run. Let's do another one.
Mm-hmm. But I like that, though, the retail crease. I like that. I'm going to use that.
Well, you have to give James Vincent credit for that.
I will.
I'm not smart enough to make that up.
I will give him credit.
Wonderful. That was some good stuff there. Has any of you freelanced for some different lines? I know I freelanced with, this is Janice, I freelanced with Bobby Brown, Tony and Tina, and Smashbox.
I worked at MAC. This is Jen. I worked at MAC, freelanced for MAC. I freelanced for Prescriptive, Dior, Bobby Brown. I'm leaving someone out. Well, that gives you a good idea.
Mm-hmm. I've done some freelance in-house work with Eve Pearl, with Youngblood, Lipstick Queen. Trying to think of other brands. I've never done counter work. I've never worked in like at a retail counter, but I have done Dex New York. I've done education and an in-house education for all of the brands that I just mentioned.
And this is Denise. Let's see, I've done Bobby Brown, MAC, Lorac. I want to say one or two more, but I can't remember. That's old school for you, can't remember. Giorgio Armani. Okay, here we go. So, yeah.
Have you, for instance, freelanced with any...
No, I have not done freelance.
Oh, okay. Do you think it's something you may want to try?
Yes.
Okay.
I would have to do it from Jacksonville, though. So.
Right, exactly.
But it's on the list.
The good thing about freelancing, though, is, you know, it allows you to just touch different faces. You know, it allows you to touch so many different faces. And, I mean, that was the great thing about freelancing with Bobby Brown for so long. I mean, you see every skin type. You see, I mean, of course you work with a lot of, you know, middle-aged women,
mm-hmm.
you know, older women. So you see a bunch of wrinkles. You have to deal with that skin. You know, working with Bobby, especially early on in like, you know, early on like 2001, things like that, you would rarely see a black woman come in to the counter, like to one of the events. I mean, if you did, it was maybe like 1 out of 100 women. And, of course, it would be, well, you would think it would be the easiest face to do, but, of course, it was always someone who had, you know, issues with their skin. They, you know, they had acne or something like that. And while we're on this topic, this is the whole reason. This is the one thing that made me start really paying attention to This That Beauty, the blog, because one day Felicia blogged about her experiences with her acne and trying different products and all that, and it was such a long blog entry, and I read the whole entire thing. I couldn't believe it. I was just
God
really,
bless you for that.
I mean, I was just you know how long that thing was. I was fascinated because, you know, you hear this over and over and over, and women get frustrated because they don't know what to use. So while we're talking about this, if Felicia, if you could just kind of talk about that a little bit, because I just think it's just so important that, you know, we talk so much about makeup and you know, and making people look good and all that, but for me, being an esthetician, my main concern is that the skin is where it needs to be before you put the makeup on it. And it doesn't just mean taking the makeup and, you know, putting moisturizer on it and covering everything up. I mean, we need to focus on taking care of our skin and, you know, getting rid of the acne or at least finding the source of the acne. and being educated on that before we start talking about if we're going to use NARS or if we're going to use MAC or if we're, whatever. That doesn't even matter until the skin is in the right place. So can you just speak a little bit about, you know, your experiences and what you went through and a little bit about, you know, where you are now, because I think you look fabulous.
Oh, thank you. And thank you also for reading that post. It was pretty long and epic, but it was something that was on my heart to pin for a long time. I get a lot of women that approach me about my skin, and, you know, I thank God. I think I am pretty blessed to have good skin, but what I really wanted to highlight in that article is that good skin is not necessarily something that you're born with or it's in your gene pool. That is a part of it, but all our bodies all go through different changes, be it hormonal, you know, age, acne, whatever, and that impacts your skin. And for me, a lot of the frustration that I encounter as a beauty person where people would approach me and they're like, oh, what do you use? And I'll tell them, and I can immediately see their eyes start to glaze over and like they check out and they're thinking about, you know, what they need to get from the grocery store. And, you know, what I try to convey to women is that, you know, caring for your skin really is, it's like a lifestyle. It's a you have to be habitual about it. It's not a miracle product or one magic thing that's going to make it all better. And that's what a lot of women look to. They don't really look to establishing a regimen that works for their skin, which, if that means going to the dermatologist to really understand any conditions that they have going on, you know, beneath the dermal, you know, layer, and then understanding the products that they need to, you know, use to maintain and how to need to care for their skin. A lot of times I get clients in my chair, and part of the reason why I can't do a face in, you know, 20 minutes is because half the time I'm like talking to them about their skin and borderline lecturing. I'm like, okay,
exactly.
You brought me this picture that's
exactly.
Like airbrushed to the gods, but boo, do you see all the sebum you have seeping out of your skin and the clogged pores? And I'm like, I'm a makeup artist, not a magician. And a lot of times they expect you to work miracles, and it's like you've never even exfoliated. And
exactly.
It was just very important for me to kind of run that for women and say, it's not a miracle product. It's really about a regimen, and that regimen will change from skin season to skin season. In the winter, you're drier, so there are things that you might have to change. And if your skin is going through acne, which you saw from the pictures in my post, I had a really bad bout with acne out of nowhere. It was just kind of hormonal, and it left really dark, I mean, practically black marks on my skin. And, you know, I really wanted to address the hyperpigmentation. I didn't want to walk around, you know, looking like a leper, but the first thing I had to address was the acne. And that's what I try to teach women, like, you can really only address one condition at a time. And if you have the hyperpigmentation, you have to deal with the acne first, because that's causing the hyperpigmentation.
Mm-hmm.
Once you get that in check, you go through that skin season, then you can move on to getting rid of the spots. But, you know, not to go too long in the tooth on skin, because I can, and I enjoy talking about it. I'm just really passionate about it. It's really important that you establish a solid skincare regimen, and it doesn't mean that you have to use, you know, 10 things a day like I do, but understand your cleansing regimen, your toning, your eye cream, your antioxidants, what kinds of treatments you should be doing to your skin on a regular basis to, you know, to protect your skin. It's the largest organ, you know, of the body, and you have to treat it as such, and so many people don't. So that's my two cents.
but that's the thing, and that's another thing, the same for me. You said, you know, part of the reason why you can't do a makeup in 20 minutes is because you're sitting there and you're talking to them about their skin. And that's something that I do all the time. Even, you know, when I'm working on a film and I'm talking to an actress, you know, they come in using this, that, and the other, and they think they've got it together. But for me, in order to understand what I'm going to do, I still have to understand something about their skin, because I need to know how their skin's going to react to the makeup. Are you oily? You know, once I put the makeup on and you hit the set, you know, are you going to start, you know, are you going to start sweating? Are you going to, you know, are you going to start to shine? I need to know if I need to put a little, just a little bit extra powder on the face, something.
Right.
But you, you
another reason to start perfecting that skin first, because you can do that evaluation in the process. Okay, I need to blot before I set the powder. All
right.
That good stuff.
Exactly. You have to. You. I mean, it's great to me. It doesn't make sense to put makeup on someone's face without talking to them about their skin. That just does not make sense to me.
Right. Yeah. I think as a makeup artist, I certainly feel like I have a little bit of responsibility to help educate my client, and also on like proper makeup removal, because how many of us have had a client in our chair and you ask them if they're wearing anything and you swab around that eye and it's like those dark under eye circles you think you have, no, that's actually eyeliner or mascara, but they just don't know how to properly remove their makeup.
Right.
So I think education is partly our responsibility.
Yeah, I believe so. Because for most women, where else are they going to hear this?
Right.
Where else are they going to hear it? And I think for a lot of women, I think that's why it's important, you know, in the department stores, when you go into the department stores, and that's why when I you know, did freelance for Bobbi Brown, it was always important for me to talk to them then about their skin and about the products, and not just, you know, throw it on them because that's what they were paying us to do, but to really get in there and talk to them about it, because for some of them, they'll never go to a dermatologist. You know, they'll probably, you know, never go anywhere where they'll get that type of education. So they have to hear it from somebody. And if they're old school, you know, they're lucky to get it. You know, we're lucky that they even stop at a makeup counter.
Mhm.
Because most women aren't going to do that. Or if they do, they're gonna stop at a specific counter to get makeup where they don't even really staff salespeople. You've got to get somebody from another line to come pull that product to sell it to them, so they're not getting education at all.
Yeah, I always tell women the more makeup you wear, the better care you need to take of your skin. I don't know if that's grammatically correct, but mm-hmm. The more makeup, the more you need to be doing in terms of skincare. Because makeup impacts your skin. So, you know, if you're wearing foundation, at the very least, if you're wearing foundation, tinted moisturizer, or, you know, a mineral makeup powder every day, you need to have a pretty legitimate skincare regimen. Cleansing, toning, treating, protecting.
Right.
Now, if you're someone who doesn't wear makeup every day, I mean, you still need a skincare regimen, but, you know, maybe you can just cleanse and protect with the sunscreen in the morning. But if you're wearing makeup, you definitely need to take really good care of your skin.
Yeah.
For sure.
For those of you who are in the BBM chat, take a look at the four new photos that were posted, and let me know what you think about that. We're just discussing in the BBM chat, you know, raw versus retouched, and we're talking a little bit about HD and digital photography.
Are they posted on the blog, the pics?
No, not yet. I was gonna. I didn't know if I wanted to post them on the blog because two of them are of me.
So if I don't have a BlackBerry, then you know.
I mean, one's retouched. Okay, I'll post it on the blog.
Yeah.
It's like, how can people that don't have a BlackBerry get in on this little club you guys have?
I want in.
It's our own little club. Sorry.
Well, we'll come. You know what, Jen? We'll come.
You know what? Like, but then again, everyone doesn't have Google, because I was going to say you could do a chat that way, but everyone doesn't have like a Gmail account.
Okay. How about you tweet it?
Yes. How about that?
Well, I tweeted something about the topic. I just didn't tweet the photo.
Okay.
But I can tweet the photo.
You know I'm a BlackBerry hater. Come on,
I
want to be in. Am I being punished?
Yeah.
No. One says no, one says yes.
Now they're in the chat phone talking about, what the heck, can we get an iPhone chat? That's Nicole Rogers. Yeah, I called you out, Nicole.
Actually, I've been fishing around on the internet a bit, trying to find some developers to do apps for Beauty Talk for all the platforms. So hopefully we'll
there is one. God, I forget the name of it. I didn't like it because there was somebody on there who was kind of like creeping me out. And I didn't know how they were my friend, and I didn't, like, you know, accept them or whatever. So I just kind of deleted it. But I had it, like, a year or so ago. And it's still out there. It's still around. I have to research it. But it does.
Okay.
It, I mean, it doesn't matter, you know, which format, which type of phone you have. Because I was chatting with someone who had an iPhone.
Since we're talking about BBM chats and Twitter, Felicia, you spoke earlier when you gave your introduction. You talked about social media strategies for beauty brands. And how do you feel social media has helped you in your career, and how do you feel like it can help other makeup artists, other beauty professionals, and also beauty brands?
I think that social media is a great connector. I think that it's an effective way to connect with brands and other enthusiasts and readers. I think that you have to, you know, strategize your usage, and that's something that I do personally for myself as well as brands that I work with, and help them to strategize exactly how they're utilizing these social media forums, because it's everyone has a different desired result, you know, and for some brands it's building up followers, for some brands it's promoting products, for some brands it's building up their list of folks to market to. So you really have to think about, you know, what is your reason for using the various social media platforms. And for some people, for, you know, enthusiasts, it's really just to connect and have fun and learn. For me, I think, again, that social media, Twitter and Facebook and all of that has been a great connector. Honestly, I feel like for bloggers that are starting, you know, out today that are fairly new to blogging, I feel like, wow, they just have this open access. I remember when, you know, I had to really work to find out who does PR for La Mer and who's doing this and how to connect with these people. And now they find you on Twitter, and you're able to find them relatively easy and connect, because all of these brands have social media coordinators or someone whose job is to primarily sit there and tweet. So, you know, it definitely is a connector. Again, I think you have to strategize your usage, because you can dump a lot of empty minutes, hours, days, weeks, months into it, and you can use it ineffectively. I see lots of brands that are not very effective at using Twitter and Facebook, or they just really don't understand how it works. So for those brands, that kind of tells me a little something about where they are in terms of the times and being current and embracing technology. But for the most part, my experiences are good, and I think that, again, it's a great connector and a way for me to build and brand. I've gotten lots of work out of Twitter, from everyday brides to, I started doing proms like 3 years ago, because women that I had friended on Twitter would like call me up to do their, or on Facebook actually, to do their daughter's prom makeup, which I'd never done proms before. So I've gotten actual work. I have brands that kind of take notice of what I do and my tone and how I conduct myself, and they've approached me out of that to do work with them. So even though sometimes I try to keep it PC, but sometimes I'm like, hey, this is what you sign on for. This is who I am. So I keep it PC for the most part. But I enjoy and embrace social media.
What about you, Frances? How do you think social media, you know, being on Twitter and Facebook, has helped your career, since you're pretty much basically just starting out in the last few years?
Well, for me, number one, being able to connect with other artists who are already well established. For example, you ladies. And I guess as well, and I enjoy it, number one, because of, you know, being able to connect with other artists. But I mainly use it, number one, to connect, and then number two, just to stay connected and try to stay current, you know, being that I am in the area that I'm in, and it's, you know, there is no market, and, you know, we don't have, you know, anything going on that would normally keep me connected. So I do, you know, reach out to other artists via Twitter, via Facebook, so that I can, you know, gain more knowledge, everything from the, you know, newest products or the trends or, you know, even finding out, you know, when their training classes are being held. So I, you know, I really do enjoy it because it keeps me connected and it keeps me, I guess, just going forward in the fact that, you know, I'm learning and able to, you know, hold on to all of this information in regards to being a makeup artist.
I think it's been great. You know, the internet is not going anywhere. I think it's been great for Illusions Cosmetics, you know, with all of our Facebook pages and Twitter. It's been great for me, as a freelance makeup artist as well. Especially Facebook. I mean, I'm in love with Facebook. And just really, my sister thinks otherwise. She loves Twitter, but I'm in love with Facebook. It has helped me out tremendously as a makeup artist and just networking with people that I probably wouldn't see or even be around on a regular basis. It just helped me out tremendously, and I love it. It's a great way for me to connect with people.
Well, for me, I mean, everything that you guys said I can agree with as far as social networking goes, except for the Facebook thing. But I think just the connection with the other, you know, makeup artists, beauty bloggers, like, I feel like, you know, before ever meeting, you know, certain people, I felt like I've known them for years. Like, even when, you know, when we met Jennifer in L.A. at the makeup show, I mean, at the IMAX in June, it was like, you know, we looked at each other and, like, you look familiar.
Right.
You know,
I'm like,
and
wait
then,
a minute.
Yeah. And then when you find out, or even Felicia, you know, I heard her voice, never hearing her voice before, but then I turned around and I saw her lipstick. And I was like,
you were like, whose
that
big red lips are those?
But I was like, I know that girl. I was like, I know her because I saw a photo with you and you had, like, the same type of lipstick. And I was like, wait a minute. And I looked down at your name tag. Well, we kind of looked at each other's name tags at the same time. But, yeah,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, but it's like you know, you have a connection to people. And that's good. It's like it gives you a way of kind of getting to know people before you actually meet them. And, you know, you can kind of determine,
yeah,
well, I don't really want to meet her in person. I don't want to, you know. But it hasn't been that for me. It's all been really great.
It really has. It really has. I think, you know, at one time I was at a point where, and I hate to say this, but I was at a point where I didn't really care to, you know, meet a whole lot of makeup artists. You know, not that it was a bad thing, it was just, I just wasn't interested. No big deal for me to, you know, befriend a lot of makeup artists. But I think because of social networking, you know, people reaching out, you know, 'cause of course there's a lot of people that you become friends with, or I'll speak for myself, that I've become friends with on Facebook that I don't even know, but they're a makeup artist, and they reach out to me and want to be my friend, and because they are makeup artists, I accept them. And just between that connection alone, I've really grown to really enjoy meeting a lot of other makeup artists now. where before it wasn't that for me. Not that it was such a bad thing, but it was just, it wasn't an interest of mine. I mean, I'm like, okay, you know, I know some people and I know a few people here and there, but okay, that's fine. But now it's like I really have come, you know, to appreciate getting to know other makeup artists. So it's really been good, a great way of connecting people. You know, and then you meet other people from other parts of the, you know, the world or the country, who have different experiences, or some of them the same experiences, and it's like, you know, you really learn from each other, and we can do it from our desk at our office, or sitting in bed with your laptop and putting
hands or
your
BlackBerry.
Or your BlackBerry. Right. Exactly.
Or any other smartphone that you might have.
Team BlackBerry, yay.
Well, I am huge on social media. I fell in love with it, and when I decided to really use it to reinforce what I believed my brand was, it has been irreplaceable. All this stuff you can do if you just spend a little bit of time, be a little bit strategic, just like Felicia said, be a little bit clever, and differentiate yourself just a touch, it can really, really work.
Absolutely. Looks like we have a caller, so let me try to grab this caller really quick. We have about 10 minutes left in the show. Hello, caller.
Hi, can I order the Chinese food, please?
Tim!
Holy moly.
Tim, get out of here!
I got off work early, so I'm like, oh, let me listen to this thing, and I'm calling.
Yay!
Yay, Tim, thank you for tuning in.
No, you know it's not Chinese food. It's got to be Thai.
Oh, well, yeah, hey, you know, they ain't much in Wilmington, so
right.
I have to do.
Well, you know what, Tim, my sister and I were just talking about you the other day and how we really enjoyed the Thai food restaurant that we all went to in Hollywood.
Uh-huh.
We were saying how we
really
enjoyed it.
Just missed the Thai Elvis.
It's called what now?
It's Thai Elvis. We didn't go on a date. He was there.
Right. Thai Elvis. I forgot that was the thing.
Yeah. Hey, Jennifer.
Hey, baby. So who are you doing for the Emmys? Or are we going to see you on the red carpet, baby?
No, he's in Wilmington for
I'm in Wilmington, North Carolina, working on One Tree Hill right now.
So tell us, Tim, you've been there for about what, a month now?
Right now? Yeah, it's been a little bit over a month.
And which season is this?
This is season 8.
Season 8. So tell us just a little bit, how's it going? I know you got some fantasy work to do next episode, so I'm excited about that for you.
No, it's been going great, you know. I mean, it's kind of one of those things where, you know, you kind of come back and work with your family, in a sense, because I've been on the show for the past, almost
long
3 seasons now?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been here quite a bit. You know, I might as well change my address to here.
Right.
You know, but, you know, it's been great. I mean, we're getting ready for our Halloween episode, so it's, you know, a lot of fantasy stuff, a lot of, you know, but just a lot of crazy crap happening. It's going
right.
to be fun.
What are you doing to prepare for the fantasy work?
A lot of research, basically going on the internet, trying to find, like I said, we're getting ready, there's a big Halloween party, and then there's a nightmare sequence. So just going through all the books, looking at all the cadaver books, aside from that, looking on like the, you know, look at the old photos. I mean, like, I know you guys were talking about social networking, and I know that a lot of people has become, you know, who friended me on Facebook to, you know, as far as makeup artists are concerned. Actually, you know, I do a lot of my research on Facebook because there are so many fabulous makeup artists out there in the network, and I start going looking through the photo album. I'm like, oh, shit, you got some pretty good people here, you know?
Right.
So I start
looking
at their work and start doing those kind of research, too. It's like, ooh, I like that, but let me tweak it a little bit, you know, let me trim it a little bit to make... To make it, you know,
right.
the thing, but it's just like, you know, it just, you never know where your inspiration is ever going to come from.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why I'm like, you know, I know a lot of people go, oh my gosh, I'm new at this, but at the same time, a lot of time you guys, the newer artists actually giving us the inspiration of what's going on, because we're, you know, like know, you girls know, we've been doing this for years and years and years and years. Sometimes we get stale.
Yeah.
You know, and you need the new blood to come in to go, oh, shoot, I better get my butt in gear.
Right.
They're coming after me.
Right.
You
right.
know? So it's like, right. I'm saying, y'all, I mean, you guys are keeping us on our toes.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, just, you know, just doing research like that, going back on the, you know, we have a big fantasy mermaid thing that we got to do. You know, we have everything from, like, a mermaid to, you know, vampires to zombies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's a lot of things that we're doing.
Tim,
so
I'm going to, you're going to have a lot of followers by tomorrow.
What, where?
On Twitter.
He just wants to make sure not in Wilmington.
Right. Right. No, not in Wilmington, yeah. But Twitter.
And if y'all are a fan of the show, don't say anything. You heard the show.
Right. Exactly.
Because I'm going to lose a job, girl.
No way. No way.
We're both
no, but I mean, yeah, it's a lot of fun stuff coming up on the show. So we get into a lot of crazy, crazy, crazy stuff.
So Tim,
it sounds like
if I'm sorry, go ahead.
So I was just gonna say, it sounds like it's keeping your job very interesting. You're not doing this. I mean, I know it's, you may be doing some of the same actors day after day, but with all this different, you know, the zombies, the vampires, the fantasy stuff, it seems like it's just keeping it very interesting.
You know, I mean, it's like when you get to, on a TV show like this, like One Tree Hill or anything that you see on, you know, Desperate Housewives or anything like that, our job is pretty simple. It's you making pretty people prettier. That's all we're doing. And every once in a while you get like, you know, like last season we had a 1940s episode that we actually get to spread our wings a little bit and have some fun. And then we had, you know, the 80s episode and, you know, that type of thing. So it kind of keeps it interesting. It's like, you know, after a while, it's like, oh, my gosh, are we doing that same color, putting that same color lipstick on again? We're doing that eyeshadow again? You know, so, I mean, so it actually, we actually got, oh, my gosh, I could throw some glitter on this thing and be, and you know,
mm-hmm.
be a glitter whore for once, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah. So it's kind of, you know, keep us on our toes and have and it make it our job more interesting.
So, Tim, tell me, because, of course, you're shooting in HD. So, like...
Actually, we're not.
You're not?
What?
No.
Really?
Girl, we're still
you're
on 18 millimeters.
Oh, wow.
You're probably the only show that's not shooting in HD.
Exciting.
Oh, my gosh. I'm sorry, you guys, and the rest of the panel. I did not mean to come in here and commandeer the show.
Right.
Sorry.
Oh my
God.
That's interesting.
Yeah, we're the only one that on you know with 16 millimeters and they've been, you know, I guess the way that the
mm-hmm.
the network and the producers looks at it is that, you know what, if it ain't broke, why fix it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I agree with that.
It's in its eighth season, so
that?
No. Why change?
Exactly.
I change.
Wow.
No.
I'm picking up my jaw. Okay.
I know.
Yeah, me too. I really am. Wow.
You know, I mean, yeah, I mean, it's one of those things. I'm like, okay, cool. So it's like, you know, I'm having a great time. Yeah.
Well, that's good. That's good.
I know, because when I first started the show, I thought it was like, oh, we're shooting in 30. I knew we went in HD,
mm-hmm.
so I thought we were like at least 35 or super 35.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they told me we're 16, I was like, oh, alrighty. You know? Reminds me of my low budget days, you know? But hey,
yeah.
Can't complain.
Right.
I know that's right.
Right.
But let me ask you quickly, Tim, would you agree that, let's say you were, or not necessarily this show, but other projects that you work on that where they are shooting in HD, would you agree that it's very important to have a conversation with the DP, you know, about the camera that they're using or how they're going to, you know, how they're going to shoot or talk with someone who likes? And, you know, don't you feel like it's a very important thing to do to kind of have that conversation in the very beginning?
Oh, no, definitely. I think it's important because the thing is, I think with HD, the camera sees everything, every little flaws, every little, you know, every nook and cranny, so you can see everything. So basically, it's a lot of times it's good for you to be friends with your DP. and learn, you know, and discuss, obviously discuss by the camera that they're using and whatever else. But at the same time, one of the things that I always tell every makeup artist out there to do, if this is a field that you want to get into, learn lighting.
Mm-hmm.
Learn lighting, you know, because that's going to help you in the long run. It's like when I was, you know, when I was on tour with Janet Jackson and we would be on the road somewhere in Europe, you know, Roger Davies, her manager, would not, well, her former manager would not let her go on camera until I actually take a look at the monitor to make sure that it looks right. But that's one of the that's one of the biggest things that I would say tell people. It's like, you know, just make sure you learn your lighting. And that way, when you work on an HD show, you actually, when you have a conversation with the DP or the gaffer, you actually know what you guys are talking about. You're actually speaking the same language as they are. You know?
Right.
So that's the thing. But, I mean, one, I think one of the most important things to remember when you do anything HD is blend. You mm-hmm. blend everything out. Blend, 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 blend.
Right.
You know, if you think it's blended, blend it again.
Right.
Yeah.
That's any hard line you get, you can see it.
Right.
Wow. Well, thank you so much, Tim. We're running out of time, but I really do appreciate you calling in.
No problem. I just thought it was going to be calling me a little stupid, but heck.
Nice surprise. But you know, it was so funny because when you first said, can I order some Chinese food? Oh, I was about to, ooh.
Well, it's funny. It's
Let me
funny
pull it together.
When he called in, I was like, oh, man, we haven't had one of these calls in a long time. I was like, the show was going so well. It was perfect. And then she said, Tim, I was like, ooh, thank God. You know?
I was about to get cursed out, huh?
Well, no, but I was
Something
like, I was just going to say, okay, thank you for calling and hang up. But you know, she said, Tim, just in time. So it's cool.
All right. Well, I'll let you guys go back to doing your thing.
All right.
Well,
you.
Call in anytime.
All right. Have fun, girl.
Okay.
All right. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
See you later. Bye. Love you.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Bye.
Okay, so to...
Can we get 15 more minutes?
Well, we're still streaming, so I'm not sure if Jennifer has done this or not, but at the end of each show, we like to ask our guests what beauty is to them. So I don't know if Jennifer has done this or not when I was away, but I like to give each of you a chance to just share with our listening audience what beauty means to you all.
I have not done it. I've had a chance to think about it, but you know what? I'm just going to go with what my raw answer always is when I come across something like this. Beauty to me is complete comfort in your own skin, period.
Gotcha. Thank you. I'm in total agreement with that. I love that answer. Frances and Felicia, what do you guys think? What is beauty to you?
This is Frances. For me, beauty is each person finding who, you know, their own individuality and just being confident that I am unique, I am my own person, and I am beautiful. So that's what beauty means to me.
Nice.
Felicia?
Oh, sorry, my phone was muted.
Oh.
Sorry about that. I didn't realize until you, like, said Felicia again. For me, I think beauty is it's an inner quality that is reflected outward. And I know that sounds cliche, but I mean, you have people that have outward beauty, but I think the inner is what takes over. So if you don't have that strong inner beauty, you don't have the confidence, and you know, I don't think people see that on the outside. So for me, beauty is something that starts on the inside and comes out. So that's what beauty is to me. Very nice, and I do thank you, ladies. I just want to say that I've enjoyed this hour and a half. It's been great. I'm so thankful that we've had the three of you on at the same time. I thought it was a great combination, a great group. So we really do appreciate you ladies coming on. We appreciate also your support of the show. We will continue to support the three of you as well. We thank everyone who participated in the chat room and on the BBM chat. We're going to find a way to get iPhone users and you, what are some
Palm
of the other?
Palm Pre users.
Yeah.
Palm Pre. Please.
Thank
put
you.
That out there.
Thank you.
Put
thank
that out
you.
There.
Thank you.
We're going to try to find a way to get all the smartphone users together in one chat. So just be patient. We're working on it. But I appreciate the people who have jumped on board with this BlackBerry thing. I was really surprised at the response. So it's very nice. I'm happy about it. I'm just overwhelmed with the response that we're getting within this past month, just in every direction. So I'm just very thankful. And again, I have to say this, Jennifer, thank you so much when you filled in for me back in the month of July.
Child, please.
Of that.
It was my extreme pleasure. My extreme pleasure.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. And, you know, my sister was holding it down, too. I think she wants me to say something about her, I guess. She's over here clearing her throat. But thanks to Tim for joining us. That was a nice surprise. For those of you who are out there who are listening, if you enjoyed tonight's show, please go out there and mark it as a favorite. Leave us a comment here on Blog Talk Radio. You can also leave comments on Facebook and Twitter. I want to let you all know that we do have Beauty Talk, the web series. There is a Facebook page. You can go out and join and like that. There is also a new Twitter page for Beauty Talk, the web series. We're trying to really just get some support for that because the very first show is coming up August 30th, which is the very last Monday of the month. So we're just trying to get a following. Please tell everybody about it. We're trying something new. We're praying that it grows. This particular talk show has grown. If you guys knew how we started, you would be you'd be surprised. So we're very close to completing year number two with this show, and we've just been blessed. And it's grown tremendously, and we're so thankful for guests like the three of you and for others who've joined us. Next week we have Crystal Wright. Please tell everybody. We want the phone lines lit up. I know that she's a wonderful resource, and I'm sure there are so many people who have questions. Newbies like Francis, some of us old schoolers like myself and my sister and Jen James.
Felicia's old school too.
Oh yeah, and Felicia. I know that there are questions that we
only in technique though. Only in technique.
There you go.
Yeah, only in
there
technique.
You go. That's why I didn't say her name. she didn't sound like she was totally claiming it earlier. But you know, I know no matter what level you are. On your makeup journey, I know that there are questions that we still have, and I'm sure Crystal can shed some light on some things. So please join us next week. And also, if there's a topic that you would like us to discuss, if there's a guest that you would like us to consider, you know, send us an email and let us know, you know, what's on your mind. You can send your thoughts to info@illusionstudy.com. Also, illusionstudy@gmail. So with that being said, thank you, ladies, very much, and everyone have a great night.
Thank you all.
Good night. I love you all. Good night. See you soon, Felicia.
See you soon. Bye, Francis.
Good night. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Yes, Francis, don't think we're not going to come way across Georgia and see you too, honey.
Come on, we can have a party.
I'm ready. Let's do it. Good night, love.
Bye-bye.
Good night.